Now, if you'll open your Bibles with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 4. I suppose the other disciples, or most of them, were dead. For we understand that most of them were martyred, except for John. And John had been exiled to an island called Patmos. And on this island, he said, surrounded by sea, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, spoke to him. And John said, I fell on my face like a dead man. And he gave to him some words about seven churches. And then it says in chapter 4, verse 1, after this revelation concerning the churches, he said, I looked. And behold, a door was opened in heaven. I looked, John said, and heaven just seemed to open up. This is not the first time that this has happened. Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau. He came to a place he later called Bethel, made him a bed and a pillar of rocks, and lay down to sleep. And during the night, he said, heaven opened, and I saw the angels of God descending and ascending to the throne of God. And Jacob said, this is indeed the house of God. And he called it Bethel. Another time, John the Baptist said, when he came to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, when he came up straightway out of the water, the heavens opened, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and abode upon him. Another time this happened, Stephen had preached that glorious message. And in anger, the Jews, the religious people, cast him to the ground and hurled stones upon him. And he said, I saw heaven open and the Son of God standing on the right hand of the Father. And their anger was kindled even more, and they dashed the stones into his body until life was gone. But John said, heaven was open. And he said, the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet. Did you ever hear a trumpet in the still of night? The blare of a trumpet, how crisp, how sharp the sound is. And he said, that voice was like a trumpet talking to me. And that voice said, come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Heaven was open. And that voice said to John, come up here. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, he said, I was in the Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul had an experience akin to this. He said there was a man some several years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But such a man was caught up into the third heaven. And he said, I saw things it's not lawful or possible to utter. This is John's experience. I was in the Spirit. I was in ecstasy. And behold, I saw a throne. Now, I don't hope to describe this. John didn't see fit to describe it fully, and Paul said, certainly, the things which I heard, it's impossible to utter. But he said, I saw a throne set. A throne. Not many thrones, just one throne. And that throne was established. That throne was set. Oh, the vastness of it. The greatness of it. That throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. Our God is one God. And he sat on that throne. A God who's not pacing up and down, wringing his hands or worried, but a God who declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And God sat on his throne. And he that sat on that throne was to look upon like a jasper. Preacher, what's a jasper? A jasper stone is a stone, they tell me, that's known for its transparency and its variety of colors. All its variety of colors, its different facets. And I believe John is saying here that when I look on the throne of God, I saw all the different perfections of God magnified. I saw his holiness and his justice and his righteousness and his grace and his power, his omnipotence. I saw all his mercy, his love, all the many facets, all the many varieties of God's perfections and holiness and glory. I saw him on a throne like a jasper. And then to look upon, he was like a sardine stone. What's a sardine stone? Well, it's red like a ruby. It's bloody red. And John seems to say, I saw God on his throne. And I could see the many varieties and perfections of God. But I saw also God's power and God's judgment and the terror of the Lord like a red bloody ruby. And he said there was a rainbow. You know how big a rainbow is? This throne must have been vast and all the things that surrounded it. But he said, I saw like a rainbow around that throne. Ezekiel said something about that. Ezekiel said, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of a rainbow that's in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about that throne. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And I saw it, and I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake, and he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I'll speak to thee. And John said, that rainbow around that throne, verse 3, in sight like unto an emerald. Matthew Poole says, an emerald is green and is pleasant to the eyes. For God is not only in his many perfections a glorious God and in his power and judgment and terror, but he is good and God is peace. And God is love. And round about that throne, verse 4, were 24 elders. You say, who are they? Well, you can read 5 books and get 5 different opinions. But I believe those 24 elders are the 12 patriarchs for the 12 tribes of Israel. And I believe they're the 12 apostles or representatives of the 12 apostles. And I saw 24 elders sitting. I do know this, they were clothed in white raiment. holiness and purity. That's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. He hath made us kings and priests unto our God. And verse 5 says, out of that throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. What a magnificent throne. I can't describe it. Our words are so poor. Our vocabulary is so poverty-stricken. But you have to use words. And John said, I saw that throne. It was like a jasper, a sardine, with a rainbow about it, like an emerald. And around that throne, 24 elders, clothed in white garments with crowns on their heads. And that throne, out of the throne, proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which is the Holy Spirit of God in His perfection. 7 is the perfect number. And before that throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Now watch this. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 living creatures. The word beast is used, but a better word is living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And he said, the seraphims with 6 wings, you remember? Well, look down here at verse 8. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Is not this the same as Isaiah saw? And was not those seraphims in Isaiah's vision God's ambassadors, God's ministers, God's preachers? And that's who these creatures are. He said in verse 6, and round about the throne were 4 beasts, full of eyes, that's understanding, revelation, God has taught them, and they see. And the first beast was like a lion, bold. The boldness of God's ambassadors is illustrated here. And the second beast, like a calf, the meekness, the servant who brings the milk of the word. And the third beast had the face of a man, identified with those to whom he preaches, flesh, clay. God put this in this treasure in earthen vessels as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle with a sharp eye, with a discerning spirit, which is God-given with understanding. That's God's preacher. Bold, servant, man of flesh, and yet a man of understanding. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. Isaiah said, with 2 he covered his face in the presence of the Lord God, ashamed. Fearful to look upon such glory. With 2 he covered his feet, knowing that his walk is imperfect. But with 2 he did fly, and he rests neither day nor night, because he has a message that the whole world needs to hear. And that message is not about himself, but that message is about his God, whom he has seen. The God with whom we have to do. The only Lord God of glory, and that messenger cries, He's holy, He's holy, He's holy. He's the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. And when those living creatures give what? Give the glory. All the glory. And all the honor. And thanks. And praise. And adoration, the glory, the honor, and the thanks to Him that sat on that throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and they worship Him. Oh, how they worship Him.
Oh, how I wish we could worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before his throne. And they cry, Thou art worthy, O Lord. This is not the 10-cent store God I hear preached today. This is not the God who says he has a wonderful plan for your life if you'll just let it work. This is not the God whose hands are tied. This is not the God who's frustrated, disappointed, defeated. This is not the God who sits about casting a vote and Satan casts a vote and hopes somebody will cast a vote in his favor. This is the God before whom the 24 elders fall on their faces and worship him and cast their crowns at his throne and cry, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, visible and invisible, principalities and powers, all stars and sun and moon and all earth and worlds and planets and all men and angels and demons. Thou hast created all things, and for your pleasure they're created. To do with as you will, to serve your purpose, to bring glory to your matchless name. We're not going to hear from God today till somebody starts telling this generation who God is. We're not going to hear from God in any saving mercy, in any great revelation of himself, because this generation wouldn't recognize him if he did reveal himself.
Thou art worthy. John said, I was in the Spirit, and I heard a voice like a trumpet blare. And that voice said, you come up here.
I'm going to show you some things. And when he brought me up there, he showed me a throne. He showed me a throne. Most of us, if we were to take someone up there, we'd start looking for the folks we won to Jesus. Or maybe we'd start looking for a reward for ourselves. Or looking for a mansion next door to Jesus. But John said, he said, come up here and I'll show you something. And he showed me a throne. And him that sat on it. He was like a jasper and a sardine. There was a rainbow about that throne. And the 24 elders sitting around. And then the ambassadors of God swiftly flying about crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But John said in verse 5, now listen, he said, oh, my friend, he said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book. Whether he was holding it up or whether he was holding it here, but John said, I saw a book. In this vast revelation, huge, magnificent, with all the lightnings and thunder and voices, and the seraphims, and the living creatures, and the 24 elders, John said, I saw a book. I saw a book in his right hand. And that book was written within. It was written within. It was written without. It was written on the backside and all around. That book was, but it was sealed, shut, tight, with seven seals. And he held it in his hand. What is that book? What is that book that John saw in the hand of him that sat on the throne? Well, you don't have to guess. If you look at chapter 6, when the book was open, it said, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the beasts, four beasts said, come and see. Come and see. And if you read those next few chapters, not now, but later, if you read those next few chapters, you'll find out that that book, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, this book is the counsels, decrees, purposes, providence of Almighty God in regard to his church and his people. His elect in this world. That's what that book is. He sat on that throne. And that book is written within and without on the backside and all around. And it's sealed shut. Sealed shut. That which is within will never be made known as long as it's sealed. That which is within will never be read as long as it's sealed. Those purposes and those promises and those counsels and decrees will never be unleashed until it's open. And John knew that. All that John needed to know was in that book. All the purpose of God in regard to man is in that book. All of the providence and counsels and decrees of God in regard to redemption, life, heaven, hell, eternity is in that book. And he said, I saw it. I saw it. I saw it in his hand. And I saw strong angels. They're no weak angels, but this was a mighty angel. And that mighty angel proclaimed with a loud voice, listen, and he cried so it could be heard in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And he said, who is worthy to open the book? I want it open, John said. We all want it open. It must be open. God has decreed that it be open. God's purposes and counsels and providence and decrees must be exercised. He must be just and justifier. He must be love and righteousness. He must have a people. He must populate the new heaven and earth. Will there be a new heaven and a new earth? Well, who's worthy to open the book and loose the seals? And he cried out with a loud voice and he said, who's worthy?
Who is able? Watch it now, verse 3. And no man, even in heaven.
Moses, sitting there with those 24, one of the 24, Moses, he looks up, Moses, open the book. Moses said, I can't open the book. I can't even look at it. Abraham, help us. The Jews trusted in thee. They said, we have Abraham. Abraham, open the book. I can't even look there. One of your angels opened the book. Well, look down on earth. No man in heaven, no man in earth. Over there in Rome, we've got the proud pontiff who walks about with his silver cross and his magic ring, and his fish hat, and his long robes, followed by a bunch of fellas clothed in red. Hey, Pope John, open the book. He didn't even know there was a book. All these ranting, raving preachers stomping up and down with their predictions and prophecies, building their colleges and schools and hospitals, claiming to have a direct line to heaven. One of you fellas open the book. That's not the God they're talking about. No man, no creature, no angel, no person in heaven or earth or under the earth. Satan, you were once the great prince of the power of the air, the mighty Lucifer. What about you doing something about the book? He can't do anything. Nobody was able to open the book neither to look thereon. Matchless, mighty, magnificent, almighty God, in perfect holiness and beauty and truth and righteousness and justice, with his divine decrees and counsel and purposes sealed in a book with every name written thereon, and the fate of every man and every nation and every plague and everything that shall be hereafter is in that book. And John sat there in silence and listened as the angel said, "Who is worthy?" And he said, verse 4, "And I cried. I wept much." And I'll tell you this. If any of us had any inkling, even the slightest inkling, of what's going on here, we'd be on the edge of our seats. The very edge of our seats. Because no man was found worthy. No man was found worthy to open and to read the book. It'll never be revealed. Men will never know God. Neither to look thereon. But one of the elders. I wonder who that was. But it doesn't matter. But one of the elders said to me, "Weep not, John. Oh, I tell you, when a man comes to discover by the grace of God the good news of the God-man. That's his message. That dries up his tears. That gives hope to his heart. That gives a foundation for his feet. Don't cry! Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Does that suggest anything? One time old dying Jacob was blessing his 12 boys. There's all that, 12 of them. And he blessed Simeon and Gad and Reuben. And he came to Judah. And he put his hand on Judah's head. And he said, "Judah, thy brethren will serve thee. Out of thee shall come he whose goings forth have been from everlasting. And the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh comes, Prince of Peace, King of Salem." Who is this Lion of the tribe of Judah? He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man. That's right. He's identified with us, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King, the ruler, the great priest, the only priest out of the tribe of Judah. But not only that, he's the root of David. He's the heir to David's throne. He's the one of whom David said, "Thee, Lord, said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand." Yes, the elder said, "You don't cry now, because there is one, and he is of the line, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the man. He's the root of David. He's God. He's the God-man. And watch it. He hath prevailed." Oh, I tell you, that word is a word of words. He hath prevailed. He hath prevailed because he travailed. He hath prevailed over Satan. For he said the prince of this world is judged and cast out. Satan has come to me, he said, and found nothing in me. He's prevailed over Satan. He's prevailed over sin. All the sins of all his people were laid on him, and he died under the weight of them, under the guilt of them, under the wrath of God. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. He hath prevailed. He hath prevailed over God's law. He came down here in human flesh, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, with all of the humanities that we carry. And he met the law of God, the awesome law of God. He met it head on, and he fulfilled it in every jot and tittle, every dot and comma, and prevailed. And he met the awful justice of God on Calvary's mountain, and he prevailed there. And he prevailed over the hearts of his people, and he prevailed with God. Because God said to him after he had finished his work, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Yes, don't cry. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of David, hath prevailed to open that book and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, watch verse 6, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the throne, because he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. David, he wasn't around the throne only, he was in the throne and on the throne. I saw a lamb on a throne as it had been slain. I beheld, John said, and that Lamb of God rose right out of the midst of the throne. But not only was he in the midst of the throne, but he was in the midst of the four beasts. That's right. He was one of them. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He was a preacher. And not only that, but he said, and he was in the midst of the four elders. He's not ashamed to call them all brothers. Where'd this lamb come from? By the midst of the throne. And yet Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me out of the midst of the brethren. And he had, listen, a lamb as it had been slain. That's our Lord's. That's our Lord's attribute of redemption. He's a lamb. He's a lamb. And if you take this book and you want to read about how sinners are saved, you're going to have the word lamb with you all the way through. But you'll have to start before the foundation of the world, because he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And you'll come down to Abel. You'll see him offer his lamb. And you come to Abraham and Isaac as they walk up that mountain to worship God. And Isaac carrying the wood and the fire says, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the lamb?" You come down in Egypt and you see Israel slay the lamb and roast it with fire and eat the carcass and put the blood on the door. Wait on God to pass over them. For he said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And you'll see that priest going every year into the Holy of Holies and with the blood of the Lamb to put it on the mercy seat to cover the broken law. Yes, that's the Lamb. Watch him. He has seven horns. That's perfect power. Seven is the number of God, perfection. And horns of power. There's nothing that Christ can't do. He has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. He has the Holy Ghost without measure. There's no one can conquer him. He said, "No man takes my life from me." Pilate said, "Hey, answerest thou not? I have the power to crucify you, let you go. You have no power over me at all, except it be given you from above." I'm weary of hearing of this frail, weak Jesus. I'm awfully weary of hearing people talk about Jesus can and he will if you let him. Nobody's ever let him do anything yet. Even as the Lamb slain, he has seven horns and seven eyes, the seven spirits of God. Now watch it. Here sits, if you can imagine in your mind, Almighty God in all his awesome, awesome, fearful holiness on his throne of judgment and righteousness and truth and justice, holding that book, that awesome, awful book of all his purposes and decrees. And there's nobody in heaven, earth, or hell that can touch it, open it, or look thereon.
But our Lord, our brother, our surety, our Lord Jesus Christ, who dwelt in my flesh with my name in his hand, on his heart,
in his book and on his breastplate, who loved me and gave himself for me. Watch it. It says, verse 7, and he came and took that book right out of the right hand of God. Whew. That makes cold chills up down my back. A man, a lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, don't lose sight of who he is, came out of that throne, equal with God. He came from the midst of those living creatures, a preacher of the good news. He came from those 24 elders, identified with them, not ashamed to call them brethren. And in his holiness and perfection and power, he walked right up. Took that book right out of God's hand. And I'll tell you this. When he took that book out of God's hand, you know what it's saying? That the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. Not in the hands of the church or the preacher or the evangelist or missionary or anybody, in the hands of Christ. In the hands of Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ took that book and opened it. And in him, everything that God has written has been fulfilled. Every requirement has been met. Every debt has been paid. Every name has been cleared. Every curse has been removed. Every requirement's been fulfilled. Every covenant has been met. He opened the book. My salvation's in his hands. My times are in his hands. And I hear all the preachers talk about the tribulation and the church and the millennium and all these different things. I'm not worried because it's in his hands. And he loves me. Not the slightest bit. And actually, I'd rather just not worry over it. I'd rather leave it in his hands. I'd rather not be bothered by it. I'm going to leave it in his hands. But I tell you this, when he walked up and took that book, all glory broke loose. I want you to listen. Boy, I tell you, and when, I'm glad I know something about this. When he took the book. And my friend, it can be back in God's eternal purpose. It could be there on Calvary. It can be in days to come. There's no time with God. We're creatures. We have to wear watches. God doesn't wear watches. Because everything's an eternal present. But when he took the book, here's the thing for you to determine in your heart. That the book is there, and it's God's book, and it's God's purposes, and God's counsels, and God's decrees. Don't mess with that. And you determine this, that you don't have the ability, power, holiness to touch it, nor does any other creature. But you determine this, that Christ our surety and Christ our representative does have the right, does have the power, and has taken the book. Now can you do that? And if you can, when you can imagine or visualize in your heart and by faith that he took the book, you'll respond just like these did. The beast, the living creatures, the 24 elders, just fell down before the Lamb. We'll quit worshiping men. We'll quit putting confidence in the flesh. And we'll fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Here's the new song, ever new, always new, eternally new. Thou art worthy to take the book, God's book, God's counsels, God's purposes, God's decrees, and to open the seals thereof. What gave him that right? For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Brethren, in 1985, with all its modernism and liberalism, fundamentalism, we're going to have to go back to preaching the message of redemption by the blood. It's by His blood that He redeemed us. It's not because we're nice people. Our sins required a blood sacrifice. Our sins are so dark and evil, they required the death of God's Son Himself. And I beheld, now stay with me, verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. And the elders, the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, and the living creatures and the elders and the angels too were crying, "Worthy is the Lamb." I used to hear a song all the time, "Holy, holy is what the angels sing." And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption story, they will fold their wings. I don't know about that now. They're doing a pretty good job here, singing redemption story. But you say the angels never fail. These didn't. Some did. And the angels don't know anything about the gospel, don't they? They're saying something about it here. The angels and the beast and the elders are all saying, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and every creature in heaven." Now, brethren, I suggest something to you. I believe there's going to be some tiny babies in heaven. Not tiny babies then, but when they died, they were tiny babies. But they're there because of the Lamb. They're there because of the Lamb. And every one of them are going to praise the Lamb who redeemed them. And I'll tell you something else. I believe the elect angels are going to praise the Lamb who elected them and chose them in Christ. There's not going to be anybody in heaven that doesn't know how to praise Christ, because it'd be a rival for His glory. Think now. I've often wondered, everybody in glory is going to be there because they were sinners and Christ died for them. But here's a whole bunch of angels that never fail. And I got to thinking this, well, maybe they'll fall yet. Because if they're not in Christ, they face that possibility, don't they? They face that possibility. But I kind of believe this, having read this scripture here. That every creature in heaven knows He's there because Christ loved him and assumed the responsibility of His safety, security, and redemption. I believe that. And there's no creature in heaven, watch it now, verse 13, or on earth, or under the earth, or even in the sea. You say, can fish talk? They're doing some talking here. Because I heard every creature say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Well, amen. Amen."